In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, I want you to look at your hand today, because I'm going to teach you a little bit about geography with your hand, okay? Okay, open your hand and put your fingers together. Open your hand and put your fingers together. Your fingers represent Capernaum and the towns where the Jews stayed, especially Peter. Peter lived in Capernaum. And then there was Bethesda, and all these little places by the sea. Okay? That's your fingers. Your palm represents the Sea of Galilee. All right? Your palm represents the Sea of Galilee. And when you go into your arm, that represents the place of the Gentiles. Okay? So we go over that again. Your fingers put together represents Capernaum, Cana, Bethesda, and all these little places by the sea, by the sea. Your palm represents the Sea of Galilee, and your arm represents the Decapolis, the Ten Cities, and the place of the Gentiles. And I'm reading from Matthew 5. Now, when Jesus has heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. So where did he depart? Where your fingers are, okay? He departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. That's where your fingers are, okay? He's dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast. So they're living, Peter is living at the Sea of Galilee. He's a fisherman, okay? That's in the middle. That's your palm. In the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now that's your beyond the sea is your arm. This is the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles. Okay, let's go back. Your fingers, the Galilee of the Jews. Then we have the Sea of Galilee. Then we have your arm, which is the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people that sat in darkness have seen a wonderful light. Who are the people that sat in darkness? Your arm. These are the Gentiles. These are the Gentiles. They've seen a wonderful light. This was prophesied through Isaiah, that the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan River, the Galilee of the Gentiles, that the people that sat in darkness, the Gentiles, have seen a wonderful light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light sprung out. Now listen, let me tell you why. We're going to go back to your fingers, back to your fingers. This is where Jesus preached. He did all of his miracles, okay? He preached and did all of his miracles. The part of the Galilee by the Sea of Galilee that was Jewish. Now, I'm going to tell you, people were healed. People were delivered. People who were deaf heard. People who were blind saw. And it came about that this traveled to across the Sea of Galilee, to the Gentiles, to your arm, and the people that were the Gentiles of Naphtali and Zebulun and the Decapolis, they began to hear about Jesus. They had walked in darkness because they were not Jews, because they didn't have God. They didn't have the covenant. They didn't have the temple. They didn't have the prophets. They didn't have the commandments. They had walked in darkness. But now people from the Jewish part of Galilee where your fingers are. Oh, people are talking about Jesus, about what he's doing, about his power, about his glory, about people being raised from the dead. And then the pagans start to hear. They start to hear. These are the people that walked in darkness. This is your arm. And guess what? They start coming to the Jewish part of the Galilee. And they start inquiring about Jesus. They start inquiring about Jesus. Why? Because they hear that he is a great king or a great healer, a great, someone who can cast out demons. And oh, they know that they're in need. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That light is Jesus Christ. That light is Jesus Christ. That light is Jesus Christ. We remember the Syrophoenician woman. Remember her? She was not a Jewess, but her daughter was possessed. She came from that area, which is your arm, the Galilee of the Gentiles, the Galilee of the pagans. And she wanted to find out about Jesus because her daughter was possessed. And Jesus looked at her and said, "Dear, I have come for the Jews. It is not right for me to give the bread to the dogs." And she started barking, and she started to say, "Even the dogs will take the crumbs from the table." And Jesus said, "I have not seen such faith even in Israel." So we see that woman, her daughter was healed, that Jesus Christ healed the daughter, spoke the word of healing, and she was healed and delivered. So the people that walked in darkness, the pagans around the Galilee have seen a wonderful light. Why? By word of mouth, by word of mouth, by word of mouth, what Jesus was doing, how Jesus proclaimed the word of God, how Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God and did the signs and wonders which followed the kingdom. This is real. This is real. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, the people that walked in darkness have seen a wonderful light. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the pagan area of the Galilee, have seen a wonderful light, and that light is in Jesus. Now we're going to talk about us. Oh, we're going to talk about us now, okay? Because this is very important. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "If your light be darkness, you are really in the dark." What we are facing in the United States of America is that we call darkness light. This is just so very real. You see, the pagans knew they walked in darkness, and they came to Jesus Christ. But we are facing in the United States that we call darkness light. I believe today, 38 years, when we have had that miserable proclamation of killing children, we call that light. We call that choice. We who walk in darkness call darkness light. We call that freedom. We call that a right. We call darkness light. Did you hear about the doctor just recently that's going to be put into prison? He had delivered late-term abortions, and they were born alive, these children, and he slit their throats. We call darkness light. Anyone who calls darkness light is truly in the dark. We do not name darkness. Have you heard about the new cereal that's on MTV called Skins, where children are doing explicit sexual things? Have you heard about it? Skin, we call darkness light, so that our children will not have any innocence anymore, that our children will be beyond being innocent, that we sell our children into the slavery of sex. We call darkness light. You see, in the time of Jesus, the people who walked in darkness, they saw a wonderful light. But now, in 2011, we call darkness light. What about our country?
Oh, yeah, we had a big feast with the president of China. Yeah, we gave him a nice dinner. But do you know, when he went home, do you know what the man says? We will bury you. We're hobnobbing with communists. We're hobnobbing with people that don't have any rights for their people. Obama didn't go into the reality that how many people in China are suffering in the gulags of China. Why? Because they hold our debt. We call darkness light. What about those poor people? Millions of people suffering subhuman conditions, like in the Nazi German camps. And what did we say? Nothing. We call darkness light. This is so sad. If we are to be the people who want to bring freedom to people, yeah, freedom to people as long as we butter our bread, huh? Is that what it's all about? As long as we butter our bread? And they hold our debt? And in all reality, they want to bury us? This is real. We call darkness light. And if your darkness is called light, you are really in darkness. You are really in darkness. Oh, I can go on and on and on. All the times we call darkness light. It's absolutely pathetic. It is absolutely pathetic that we call darkness light. We send our children to school. And they seem to learn everything but reading, writing, and arithmetic. They learn about being transvestites, about Mary has two mummies, or Frankie has two daddies, and they don't learn how to read. But they're learning all this darkness that they call light. I'm not saying that we should make fun of anybody, but school is a place to learn reading, writing, and math. And then we have the crazy women lib, you know, that say, you know, we want to be men, is what they really say, the crazy ones. We want to be men. Then we want to be treated like women. See, you want to be men, but you want to be treated like women. Don't you look at me askance, or I'll call you that you're harassing me. How many cases go to law, go to court, that shouldn't be going to court? I'm not going to talk about women, about other things. We call darkness light. We are living in the time when we call darkness light. And who talks about it? And the only light that there is that to enlighten darkness is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can lighten darkness. He can only one that can bring light into the darkness, because the light came into the world and the darkness grasped it not. Today, you know, they're marching in Washington. Because of life, that won't be reported. That won't be reported. They'll say something, but nothing much. And yesterday, the president got up, standing up for Roe versus Wade, again calling darkness white, light. That's right, the president, Mr. Obama. And then we have Oprah telling you there's many ways to God, calling darkness light, when Jesus said, I am the way. You see, it's all around us. It's all around us. And you want to know the sad thing? Because it is so perpetuated, spoken about, because it is so alive and everybody hears it, people think it's true. They think that darkness is light. They think that choice is light when it's killing. Not only the child, but the mother who had the abortion. Not only the mother, but many times the father who wanted the baby. And then people have to live with this guilt because they call darkness light. Rather than come out and confess it and be broken and say, Lord, I've sinned and I need your mercy, and he'll give it. We call darkness light. And who preaches? Because faith comes by hearing. And who preaches to expose the darkness? Like, who preaches to expose the darkness? Not very many people preach to expose the darkness anymore. What you hear is namby-pamby milquetoast stuff. Sweet and saccharine. Isn't that cute? Oh, that was a good homily. I don't know what he said, but it was really good. Nothing to crunch your teeth in. No meat. Because we're living in an era where darkness is absolutely real. Why don't we think about gambling now? What is good about gambling? There's nothing good about gambling. But yet, how are we raising money for the states? We have these big pools, you know. The $1 million, $1 trillion. Yeah, come and buy your tickets. We open up casinos in our towns, in our cities. You know, at one time, the bookie was at the end of the corner, and that's all you had was the bookie. Now every store is a bookie joint. We call it, you know, the Lucky Sevens or whatever. I don't know what they call it. Scratch tickets, calling it. You know, if you buy these, you're going to get $1 million. Yeah, keep on scratching, baby. I'll tell you, going to get sore fingers. Call darkness light. We lie to people. And who are the people that want this kind of stuff? The poor. Because, you know, they're never going to get $1 trillion or $1 million or $20 million or $5 million. So they keep on buying. And there's no milk for the children. There's no food. They're addicted. We call darkness light. Like in Winthrop, we have a big problem with drugs, and not only drugs, but prostitution. No one ever talks about it. We're the beautiful little town in Winthrop, hidden by the sea. Nothing ever happens here. But yet prostitution and drugs are rampant in the little town of Winthrop. Mamma mia, we call darkness light. We're not like East Boston. But I'll tell you, at least East Boston knows East Boston has a problem. Winthrop, on the other hand, pretends to be better. And we have more drugs going on than you could ever imagine. One drug addict said to me, you can walk a quarter of a mile anyway in Winthrop and buy drugs. That's what a drug addict said to me one day. He said, I am not pulling your leg. I am telling you the truth. But we call darkness light. Then prostitution. Oh, yeah. Prostitution. My friend who used to drive a taxi used to see the young woman at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Please. I'm going to tell you. The only way to get rid of the darkness is to pull up the shades and let the Son of God come in. To start naming the things that are wrong and start writing them with Jesus Christ, the light. For the people in darkness have seen a wonderful light. But today it's so bad that we call darkness light. And the preaching is so sweet. How shall I say it? No threat to the devil. That's what I'll say it. No threat to the devil. Because you know what? We're going to talk about nice things so that everybody feels good. When things are so messed up and nobody will tackle the reality that Jesus is the only answer. There are big problems, but Jesus is the only answer. There is abortion, but who talks about it? I said on Saturday night, you know, I'll tell you why preachers don't talk about abortion, because there are women in the congregation, even this congregation, that have had abortions. And they're afraid they'll hurt the women. But I'm telling you, there's forgiveness for women. There's forgiveness for women. There's forgiveness for women. There's a new start. You don't have to keep it hidden anymore. The big secret can come out. Jesus wants to be the light. He wants to wash it out with his blood. He wants you to know your baby is waiting for you. He doesn't want you tormented anymore. Father Joseph was hearing confessions on Saturday night. 20 people went to confession. I don't know what they said, and it's none of my business. But I'm telling you, unless we start exposing all these darknesses and calling them light, people will not repent, because the world keeps on badgering us that choice is light, that gambling is light, that hobnobbing with China is light, while they are destroying their own people. In China, you can only have one child. They have 10 and 11 abortions, these women, in China. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that? People say you shouldn't be talking politics. You have to talk politics, because you're dealing with human beings in China who are in the gulags. My friends, you know, until we wake up, we're destined to be destroyed. Until we face the truth that there's one light, and his name is Jesus, and he forgives everyone who repents, and that we can have a new life in him, we are destined to be destroyed. Then we have the schools teaching that there is an alternative lifestyle. There's not only mummy and daddy. There's mummy and daddy and daddy. And now even on our passports, they're going to say parent one and parent two. On our marriage certificates, parent one and parent two. No longer father's name and mother's name. Again, calling darkness light and sucking up to it and saying this is okay. Can I tell you it's not okay? Can I tell you it's not okay to call darkness light? Can I tell you, no matter what the world says, God says differently, I will forgive anyone who comes to me and repents, but do not call darkness light, for you will go to hell by calling darkness light. The Lord can deal with sin. He has dealt with it on the cross. But when we call darkness light, we say it's okay to be in darkness because we call it light. It is not okay. It will never be okay. And it was never okay. People say, well, you're narrow. Hallelujah. I am narrow. And there's a narrow way, and it's through the blood of the Lamb. And he'll forgive anyone. But darkness is not light. The people that walked in darkness, those people, the Decapolis, Naphtali, and all those people on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they heard about a wonderful light, and they came to the light, and they were enlightened, and they were changed. They were changed. St. Paul went out to those people called pagans, and he preached the light. He preached the cross, and they were changed. They were changed. They were changed. Paul knew light from darkness and darkness from light. Who is telling us what is dark and what is light?
MTV while our children are being exposed to explicitly sexual things when they're 15 and 16 years old. I saw a young boy near a girl half naked with his tongue on her. And I'm saying, this is disgusting. This is disgusting. This is disgusting. This is disgusting. Called darkness light. Not me. Not me. We've been on 27 years by the grace of God, and I'm not calling darkness light. Whether it be in the world, whether it be in the church, whether it be in my life, I'm not calling darkness light, because the light came into the world and the darkness could not overcome it. His name is Jesus. Come into the light. Come into the light. Come into the light. His name is Jesus. He will not reject you. He will not forsake you. His name is Jesus. Come into the light. He's the light of the world. He's the light that enlightens everyone. He is the light that no darkness can overcome. He is the only light that shines eternal. He is alive. He's been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Come and repent. It's time to repent. His name is Jesus. He's the light. Let me tell you this. We'll be at the Espousal Retreat House on Wednesday night at 7:30. If you would like to come, the Espousal Retreat House at 7:30. If you'd like to come, and tomorrow is Tuesday, we'll be at Hanover, at St. Mary's in Hanover. We have a healing service tomorrow night. It's the conversion of St. Paul. So Tuesday, Hanover. Wednesday, Espousal Retreat House. And tomorrow we'll be worshiping the Lord at 1 o'clock at the Holy Rosary. Not today. Too cold. Too cold. Too cold. Listen, thank you for responding. Thank you for sending us donations. Again, help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. There's only one light. His name is Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.